Some people say, well, I don't want to tell people I'm a Christian because they might not like me. Now watch this. There are three responses to Jesus. Some people loved him, some people hated him, and some were suspicious of him. Folks, listen, same thing is going to be true with you. If you follow Christ, some people will love you, some people will hate you, and some people will be suspicious of you. Get used to it. Just get used to it. It's okay.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We live in a topsy-turvy world. What once was right is now wrong. What was wrong is now acceptable. There are no absolutes, no black and white, only halftones and grayscales. Well, it's not the first time in history that it's happened, as we'll see today in the life of Elijah. He lived in a world where the lines became very blurry. So what did he do about it? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, New World Order.
The people of God had blended into this topsy-turvy world, led by prophets of Baal and prophets of Asherah. And although we are many years past that, it's the same thing happening. Prophets of Baal and Asherah were actually fertility gods or immorality. They would actually have temple prostitutes because of fertility. And they would do this stuff. It became a whole part of their life. It was their entertainment. It was their reason. It was in all of their speech. And you look at today, the movies, it's just filled with this. And they began to worship and blend in. Say, what's wrong with this? Everybody's doing this kind of stuff. They had blended in. And Elijah said, what's going on? The people of God, you can't tell them apart from the people of this society. And they had blended in. So Elijah called the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. He said, come and let's meet at Mount Carmel and let's talk about who is God and who isn't. Because the people of Israel have been duped. They're blended in. They've been caught up in the clutch of a changing world. So they all met at the top of Mount Carmel. The people of Israel, who knew that their identity had been stolen, but they're hiding behind the prophets of Baal, because it's rational, and they like me now. Elijah faced them, and he called to them, and it's at the top of your notes. Let's read 1 Kings 18:21. Let's read what he said. Read it with me. Go. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him. Yeah, see, they do. I don't know yet. I don't know. Now, these aren't people that were heathen. They were God-believing people, but they were caught up in the topsy-turvy world. You're going to see inconsistencies today, just like back then. People of God who claim God but live worldly. Half godly, half worldly. Now, let me tell you something. When you breed some like a half godly and half worldly, and you breed them together, it produces a monster. It's a Frankenstein. And there's a lot of Christians that proclaim God but live worldly. And that's why the people of this society look at Christians and say, you guys are monsters, man. You're weird. Well, a lot of us are, because we're getting caught up in this. And it's like God is saying, if God is God, serve him. If Baal or the devil is God, serve him. But you can't be half and half. It'll turn you into Frankenstein. It'll make a monster of your marriage and your family and your future. You'll be confused and filled with anxiety. The only thing you need to do right now is make a choice. Make that choice. And Elijah called the people to do that. If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But don't go half and half. You see that in the world today. I kind of quip and humorously say how the mafia will go to church on Sunday and then kill you on Monday. And it doesn't even bother them because they're going to go confession on Tuesday. It's like, this is really inconsistent. You've seen people in church world or in television, the way they raise money or hanker people for money, and you think, oh, they're just taking from all of these people are so precious and so innocent. And people look at it and say, you guys are monsters, man. You're doing that to yourselves. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells a story of the fact that he was raised a Southern Baptist, and he said they were so legalistic in those days that you couldn't go to movies, you couldn't drink, you couldn't chew, you couldn't smoke, and you couldn't even swim with the opposite gender. It had to be separate swimming. But, he said, many of the elders of our church were all members and supporters of the Ku Klux Klan. They all wore sheets at night when they wanted to gang up on somebody that didn't look like them. Do you understand the inconsistencies? And it's happening all throughout. You can see denominations now saying, oh, what we thought was immoral, oh, it's not immoral. Oh, you're passing laws? Okay, go ahead and let's just have them in leadership now. And it's like, whoa, 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 what's happening? What's happening? We can't tell you apart. We're developing Frankensteins. And if you're not careful, you're going to get caught up because a clutch is going to come and press harder and harder on you. That's exactly what happened with the people of Israel. They had blended in. And Elijah came close and said, man, if God is God, serve him. If Satan is God, serve him. But you just can't keep hesitating. Well, Wayne, the world's going to get better, isn't it? No, I'm sorry. Let's read what it says in 2 Timothy. Would you read it out loud? Go. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. So what is our role? Stay steady. Because there's people that are going to be in a storm-tossed ocean looking for directions and coordinates so they can find their way back to a safe harbor. And you know what they're looking for? Beacons in the night that stay steady. Even in the midst of a storm-tossed ocean, we need beacons and lights that stay steady. So when they need to find their way home, they cue off of you and off of me. How we doing? Do you understand the role? Because if we lose our way, there's no hope for people who are trying to navigate their way home to God. There's got to be a group of remnant of the Christians that say, I know what's happening here, and even these Christians are going inconsistent, or this is going wrong, we're in the midst of a bikkuti world, but I tell you, we've got to be a people of God in the midst of all of this. So Elijah says to the people, you got to come out from them. If God is God, serve him. So what do we keep our eyes on? What do we fix our eyes on so we don't get start throwing up what's going on? Here it is. Would you write in your notes, number one? Straight out of 1 Kings 18, if God is God, I will serve him. Write that down. I will serve him. Joshua, a great leader, said the same thing. Let's read what he said. Go. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served or the gods in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. You've got to make that choice. You've got to make that choice. I'm going to serve God. Now, don't say that I'm just going to serve God, but I'm also going to dapple in this, and I'm going to mess with that. No, he isn't just first in my life. He is my life. You have to remember that. The first commandment in Exodus is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have what? Yeah, I'm not just a God in your life. I am only. There's no others. Think of it this way. Let's say I was at the altar. My wife Anna and I are getting married. And I look at her and I say, honey, you're the first love of my life. You're my first love. Now, Betty is second and Tina is, whoo, she's a close third. But you're the first love of my life. You think that would excite her? She would slap me into next week. And the same is true with God. When you make a commitment, he's not just first and I'll dapple in this and I'll sort of do that. Mm-mm. If you don't make a choice now, you will be offered other choices and you won't make the choice then. You've got to make it now that he is my only God and be okay with that. Folks, listen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have, and all things have become. You're a new creation in Christ. You got to get comfortable with that. Just be comfortable. You're a Christian woman. You're a Christian man. I live by a different code. I live for another world. I'm here just passing through. I'm here as a beacon or a light in the world because Jesus has saved me and changed me. You got to be okay with that. Some people say, well, I don't want to tell people I'm a Christian because they might not like me. Let me tell you something. You ain't better than Jesus. And whatever fate Jesus had, you're going to have. Now watch this. There are three responses to Jesus. Some people loved him, some people hated him, and some were suspicious of him. Folks, listen, same thing is going to be true with you. If you follow Christ, some people will love you, some people will hate you, and some people will be suspicious of you. Get used to it. Just get used to it. It's okay. Because if you follow Jesus, the same fate that he had, you will have. And it's all right. And the sooner you get comfortable in your skin, the better. That's how it is. It's who I am. I can't change it. I've been bought with a price. I am no longer mine. I will serve him. I will serve him. And because of that, would you write in number two, then if we are his people, I will identify with him with honor. Don't be afraid to identify with him. Elijah said, we're going to find out whose God is true. He said to the prophets of Baal, you put an altar together and put an ox on it. Don't set a fire yet. And I'm going to build an altar, put an ox on it, and we're going to both call on the name of our God. The God who answers by fire, he is a true God. And so they called on their God all day. Nothing. And Elijah, before he calls on his God, does this. And let's read it here under number two. Go. Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. So with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Those 12 stones were called stones of remembrance. When the children of Israel went through the Exodus or through the Sinai, you could almost trace the trail of the Israelites by locating the altars that they had built. Because whenever God would do a miracle, there would be an event where they would overcome the Amalekites, or he would bring manna, or he would provide quail, or whatever it might be, water out of a rock, they would stop and build an altar of remembrance with how many stones? 12 stones. Why? One stone for each tribe. So they would put 12 big boulders, and then they would move on, and then God would do something else. They'd stop and build another with how many stones? 12. These were called altars of remembrance because later on when your kids would play in the wilderness, they would come upon this altar and they'd say, what was this for? Oh, that's when God brought water. Remember when the people, our ancestors, were thirsty, God brought water. Oh, and look, there's 12 stones. And if you're from the tribe of Judah, that was your lineage, you'd go, oh, this might be a stone for our family. Oh, this was about us. This is my legacy. And you, Billy, you're from Ephraim or you're from Manasseh. There's your stone. This is about us, isn't it? And you see, what was happening was these altars would give identity back to these kids to say, this is who you are and this is your God. So what Elijah did, when the people of God forgot and thought their goals were to be the goals of the world and the values of the world, when they lost their identity, the first thing Elijah did was he rebuilt the altar. Why? Watch this. A big old stone. How many stones?
12.
And the people were there blended in now with the others. And he would take a stone and boom, and he'd look up. Judah! Now, if you're from the tribe of Judah, your heart would just start pounding. And then he'd pick up another one as you're processing this. And bang! Asher! And if you're from the tribe of Asher, boy, you just start getting chicken skin all over. What was happening? He was restoring identity to the people who forgot who they were. bang, Gad, bang, Dan, bang, Ephraim, bang, Manasseh, bang, Benjamin. And all of a sudden, they said, that's us, that's us. You see, it's so easy to get into this topsy-turvy spinning world and forget who you are, that you're a people of God of another world. You're here just passing through. But I tell you, the enemy would love to blend you into this world so he can create a monster so people can't find their way home. Don't you dare let that happen. You're in the midst of a changing society, but keep your eyes on that which will not change. God answered by fire, and the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord." Just before that took place, Elijah said to the people that you need to identify with God with honor. Can people identify you and distinguish you from others? And even though you're people of another world, you're living in this dimension for a time. And your assignment hasn't changed. From the beginning of time, Jesus, till now, still the same. I want to read you a letter of a man named Diognetus, a Roman or a Grecian, that a letter was written to him about Christians. And someone was trying to characterize or define Christians. Listen, this is an actual letter from 387 AD. And he's trying to define a Christian. Listen to this. Christians are not distinguishable from other men by nationality or language or customs. With regard to dress, food, manner of life in general, they follow the customs of whatever city they happen to be living in. And yet there is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own communities as if they're only passing through. They play their full role as citizens, but then they live like they're aliens from another land. Like anybody else, they marry and have children, but they don't expose their children to others, and they share their meals, but they don't share their wives. They live in the flesh, but they're not governed by the desires of the flesh. They're obedient to the laws, but they live on a level that transcends the laws of this life. Christians are found in all the cities of the world, but they cannot, for some reason, be identified with the world. It's like they live for just a time amidst perishable things, awaiting a freedom from this change and decay that'll be theirs in heaven. Christians are in the world, but they're not of the world. That was a description of the people of God in 387 AD. It cannot change. We are still the same. But you see, the world is spinning faster and the clutch is getting more pressurized and compressed. But you'll see it all the time. You'll read it in the newspapers. Did you know that just recently, the governor of California legislated into law that now the textbooks in the schools must include the contributions of gays, lesbians, transgender, and bisexuals and their contributions and identify that. And now in New York, next Sunday is the first day where they marry homosexuals. And judges are volunteering to come in because there's going to be a draft of them. And one judge says, although that's not my personal lifestyle, that's the law, and we have to adhere to the law. And I thought, so the law of man now is the highest law. I thought we transcended man's law to a higher law. Do you understand what used to be immoral is now moral, and what used to be moral is now bigoted? You live in a topsy-turvy world, and the question is, how compressed is the clutch on your life, and what are you looking at? If you're looking at the wrong things, the world has no hope when they need to navigate their way through the stormy seas, and there's no beacons by which they can find their way home. Just recently, to show you the inconsistencies of what's happening, a bishop who's from a denomination that has a school of girls, things like this was happening where things that used to be immoral are now moral, and now the churches are putting these kinds of people in leadership. And so in an assembly, the girls at this high school had been reading about these kinds of newspaper articles. And one question was, doesn't the Bible say that homosexuality is wrong? And here's the bishop's answer. Now, you've got to see how subtle this is, all right? Listen carefully. The bishop said, the Bible does say that homosexuality is wrong. But the Bible is written a long time ago, and we have come much further since it was written. Now we know that people were born that way. Interesting, huh? Now, I have to agree with the bishop that people were born that way. All of us were born wrong. The Bible says it. The Bible says you were born with the sin of Adam inside of you. That's why we have to be born again. But because we were born wrong, we don't rationalize it to be wrong. We come to Christ to be born again and have a new nature because we're a people of a new world, not this dimension. And so God has us born again. That's what salvation is all about, not religion. See, if you just come to get a new religion, it won't transform you. But once you've seen the new world and you understand the hope that you have in Christ, everything changes. It's a transformation. It's not a new way of thinking only. It's an actual transformation. Your heart changes. There's nothing you can do. And if you haven't come to that place, please fall on your knees before Christ. Watch what he can do. It is an amazing miracle. The way I used to think, I don't think anymore. And it's not because it's scientifically disproven. It's just my mind changed. And the scripture says that. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness to him. But the one who has the Spirit is transformed by the Spirit of God. So things are happening. By the way, that happened 3 years ago right here in Honolulu. We're in the midst of a huge change, and you need to understand that whatever God's word says is true. So number three, here's something that does not change. God is true, so I must follow his word regardless of what I prefer or what the world says. God is true, so I must follow his word regardless of what I prefer. So let me tell you, mark my words, your flesh will prefer something other than what the word says. Mine does. But in the end, what's going to be true and eternal? Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all of these things at your word. Can I encourage you to stay in God's word? It'll change, transform your mind. And remember, when you said, can I come to this hole in the wall often? Every time you open the Word of God, you're looking through to the new world. You're reminded of who you are. You start to see the hope in Christ afresh. You have that stone put down in the altar and you say, that's who I am. You watch how the devil will do his best to keep you from the Word. But I tell you, go to the Word. It will help you cut away the old ivy, and it'll help you see afresh who you are and the hope that you have for eternity. And it'll help you to live with confidence and peace, to know that you're not a one-dimensional being. And although this society is topsy-turvy, you'll live with a different kind of peace and a security and a confidence because I've seen the truth. And we'll live here for a season, but we're only passing through. One day we'll be there with him. And God has asked you to be the people with a sense of new hope. He's asking, will you be one of those? And we're saying, yes, we will. Is that you? Can you say amen to that? Yes. We will.
You've just heard a message entitled New World Order by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.